Good afternoon, 4:30 in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
There shouldn't be 12 pharmacies in a county of 20,000. There shouldn't be 150 opioids prescribed for every person.
State Senator Robert Stivers is talking about his home county of Clay. He says more legislation will be needed next year to fight opioid abuse in the region.
Two people are in custody in connection with a murder of a Vanceburg man.
And Democratic State Representative Rocky Adkins doesn't think Republicans helped their cause during the 2017 legislative session.
College basketball's national championship will be decided tonight. Gonzaga takes on North Carolina.
But Luke has the stocks.
Scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows of 57 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Three people have been seriously hurt in two separate traffic accidents in southern Ohio. According to WSAZ, the most recent happened this afternoon in Lawrence County on State Route 93. The Ohio Highway Patrol says a tractor-trailer hit a car head-on. Troopers indicate a young boy has been flown to the hospital and the road is likely to be closed for several hours. The separate accident last night in Scioto County sent two teenagers to the hospital. State police say their car struck an embankment and overturned on Hayport Road near Wheelersburg. The teens are said to be in intensive care in a Huntington hospital.
Two men are now in custody in connection with the last week's murder of 28-year-old Justin Johnson of Vanceburg. Lewis County Sheriff Johnny Bivens says the arrests were made Friday evening. He spoke at a press conference in Vanceburg.
Was arrested Preston Neal Walters. Also arrested was Wince Walters.
The sheriff tells WSAZ 52-year-old Preston Walters of Garrison is charged with capital murder, abuse of a corpse, and tampering with evidence. Wince Walters, too, lives in Garrison and is 53 years old. He is charged with abuse of a corpse and tampering with evidence. The brothers are held in the Lewis County Detention Center.
On the final day of their legislative session, state lawmakers passed a bill authorizing the issuance of $15 million in bonds to support a mystery economic development project in eastern Kentucky. Very little was said about the initiative, except that it could bring 1,000 construction jobs, 500 full-time positions, and a $1.3 billion investment from an unnamed company. That was good enough for Democratic State Representative Kevin Sinette of Ashland.
My area is in economic decline. There's no question about it. We're in a situation where we've got to punt the football, regardless of what we think of right to work and how we've vented our opinions against right to work. Now we're talking about economic development. We're talking about bringing jobs back to the Commonwealth, and we can't gamble with that.
House Majority Leader Jonathan Schell says the bond authorization would expire June 30, 2018.
The Secretary of the Kentucky Labor Cabinet says he's excited about a new pilot project in seven adult and juvenile detention centers that will train inmates for jobs as carpenters, electricians, and heating and air conditioning specialists. Derek Ramsey expressed that hope on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw.
Between 95 and 98% of the people that are incarcerated will be returning to society. And so having said that, that's one. But as you look around not only the state of Kentucky, you look around the country, there's a shortage of skilled workers. And so when a person, from where I sit, has served their time, they don't have to serve time when they get out.
Ramsey says the training program should reduce the incidence of repeat offenders in Kentucky's criminal courts and fill the void in the supply of skilled labor.
It takes a 21st century education to work in modern manufacturing, and the director of the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College says his school will soon be providing that kind of learning opportunity. Russ Ward says MCTC Rowan's Center for Advanced Manufacturing will be ready to roll when the school's new $28 million facility opens in January. Ward says the center's graduates will head into the job market armed with the kind of knowledge in computer-based technology that will help them gain employment in the ever-evolving world of today's manufacturing.
I think we've just seen that shift in education, that technical education and where programs, even in allied health and those programs, you know, we need people that are trained. We need them trained at the standards that industry wants today. And things have changed a lot.
Construction on the new Rallin MCTC Campus Center is expected to be finished in December. It's being built inside the MMRC Industrial Park off Kentucky 801.
Recruiting students from Morehead State University's 22-county service region just won't be sufficient to boost the school's enrollment. That's according to the man who will become MSU's president in July. Dr. Jay Morgan says the area's declining population has made that a necessity.
We're going to have to recruit outside the region in Kentucky. We're going to have to recruit outside of Kentucky and surrounding states. And we're going to have to recruit internationally. That's what other institutions are doing, and we're going to have to do that in order to compete.
At the same time, Morgan says MSU needs to make sure its tuition is affordable for all students, including those from Eastern Kentucky.
State Representative Rocky Adkins thinks the 2017 session of the Kentucky Legislature has stirred passions among middle-class families and could be a rallying cry for his Democratic Party in 2018. The Morehead lawmaker is the House Minority Leader. He tells Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics several measures approved by the Republican majority are not friendly to working people.
Whether it be right to work or repeal a prevailing wage that has, again, hurt working families of Kentucky, it's going to drive down wages, it's going to hurt middle-class Kentuckians who I believe are the heart and soul and the strength of having a strong economy. You got to have a strong middle class. So that legislation has really energized people on the ground. It's actually seen what bad policy can do to hurt families.
Adkins also contends there was vehement opposition from educators, school officials, and parents to the new law permitting charter schools in Kentucky.
State Senator Robert Stiver says it's pretty clear to him why there's a continuing opioid crisis in Kentucky. The Republican says there shouldn't be 12 pharmacies in his home county of Clay, which just has 20,000 people. In addition, Stivers contends there shouldn't be 150 opioid pills being prescribed for every man, woman, and child in the county. Half of those prescriptions, he notes, are coming from nurse practitioners. Stivers says that'll be dealt with in the next legislative session.
That's where this is phase one, and I can guarantee you, as long as I'm breathing and as soon as I can get back here, we're going to go to phase two.
The Kentucky General Assembly last week approved a bill imposing tougher sentences on heroin dealers and prohibiting doctors from prescribing more than 3 a day supply of prescription painkillers. The legislation does not include exceptions for the treatment of chronic pain, cancer, and hospice care.
The director of an alcohol and drug addiction services program in Southeast Ohio says one of the things fueling the Appalachian region's battle with opioid abuse is a feeling of despair. Robin Harris heads the initiative in Jackson, Meigs, and Gallia counties. She says there are many young people in the area who just don't believe their lives are going to get any better. Harris says that accounts for some grim statistics.
We are receiving statistics that the counties in my part, Gallia, Jackson, and Meigs counties, are among the top in suicide rates. We know that we've seen the statistics about deaths by overdose. And I do believe that a sense of hopelessness in our community is something that we need to battle.
Harris says community-based programs to combat that attitude are the best way to make a difference. She's recommending to the Ohio legislature that it establish 9 16-bed acute substance abuse stabilization centers across the state. They would be located in Ohio's largest cities and in communities of greatest need.
Advocates for crime victims' rights in Kentucky are promoting Marcy's Law. Supporters of the so-called Victims' Bill of Rights say it will be a priority in the 2018 legislative session. Marcy's Law would also amend the Constitution to ensure crime victims are afforded the same constitutional rights as the accused and convicted. Ashley Christensen is the Marcy's Law State Director. She says this week is National Crime Victims' Rights Awareness Week.
We want folks in Kentucky to recognize that anyone can become a crime victim at any time. We just need to give these laws the teeth that is needed to give, you know, because right now these laws, they're there, but when they're violated, there's no way for victims to enforce them.
Victims have statutory rights, such as being present at court proceedings, but there is no recourse if those rights are violated.
Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone says signing a performance engineering plan contract will eventually be good for his county's tight budget. Malone says the deal with the Cincinnati-based Perfection Group has led to the county getting a more energy-efficient HVAC system for its courthouse and dump its room-by-room outdated heating and cooling units along with the building's 8 old heat pumps. He believes that will eventually save Carter County taxpayers a lot of money.
It's only been changed for a couple of months. We don't have a comparison on it yet, and I didn't think it was worth getting because the winter was so mild. But at our detention center, it's saving energy at the rate of about $1,500 a month just on the electricity. We'll also have significant savings in gas and water, and that's going to be huge over time.
Malone says new, more energy-efficient lighting systems at Carter's Courthouse and Detention Center should also prove to be a money saver for the county.
The incoming city manager of Ashland says one of the ways the community can encourage more young people to live in the city is by providing more apartments in downtown buildings. Gary Huff says that's something to which they seem increasingly interested in these days. He's quick to add it's a good inducement for older folks, too, who want to be close to shopping and city services.
Downtown living and upstairs over businesses certainly is a key thing that many millennials are looking for. So placemaking and making your community the kind of place where people want to live and where they want to stay and come back to if they've been here before.
Huff will be taking over soon from Ashland's interim city manager, Steve Corbett. Corbett and former city attorney Sonny Martin have filled the post on a temporary basis since the departure a little over a year ago of Benjamin Bitter.
An Eastern Kentucky food bank has benefited from a food drive competition involving two Ashland area hospitals. MSPR's Holly McClurkin has that story.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports that King's Daughters Medical Center and Our Lady of Bellefonte raised over 26,000 pounds of food for River City's Harvest. The donations came from the agency's largest annual fundraising event, the Food Feud. Our Lady of Bellefonte won the competition for the first time since it began 3 years ago, contributing nearly 14,500 pounds of food to River City's. This year's contest focused the percentage of employees at each hospital who made donations. River City's executive director, Brittany Hoback, thanks all the food from the competition will be handed out by this Friday. For MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin reporting.
The increase in sales for Boyd County Farmers Market over the past year is in keeping with a national trend toward healthier food choices. That's according to Casey Muncy, who is one of the officers for the organization. He believes the movement is likely to continue. Muncy says Boyd farmers sold more than $100,000 of their fruit and vegetables in 2016 at the market's three locations.
I think that, you know, we've seen a transition towards healthier eating across our nation, and everything shows that we're going to continue to see that number go up. As people, shift towards a healthier eating and spending time in the kitchen lifestyle.
The Boyd County Farmers Market operates between June and October each year. Produce is offered at selected sites Wednesday through Saturday. And now taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, lows around 57 degrees, chance of rain is at 60%. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain, highs around 66 degrees. Tomorrow night, a few clouds, lows around 47 degrees. And for your Wednesday, partly cloudy with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, highs around 77 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is sitting at 64 degrees, as well as Flemingsburg, 63 degrees in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 66 in Winchester, and it is currently 64 degrees in Moorhead.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a facility on the western edge of Moorhead is working to help men with substance abuse problems get their lives back. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
Since 2007, the Moorhead Inspiration Center has been dedicated to helping men in Rowan and surrounding counties overcome their drug and alcohol addictions. The non-medical facility uses a 12-step, four-phase program to help make that happen. Jason Jones is the center's director.
What we do is we serve approximately a population of around 100 men who suffer from substance abuse. But the primary reason that the guys come here is to work on a recovery program. And this recovery program is a peer-led, peer-driven model, which means they depend on each other as a brotherhood to help them get through here.
Jade Hampton is the administrative assistant at the center. According to him, being admitted into the center is done both on a volunteer and court-ordered basis, depending on the case.
We have a contract with the Department of Corrections for 60 clients. We can house 104, and those 60 clients will be sent to us by Department of Corrections, and then the other 44 beds are maybe possibly court-ordered, like Casey's Law is big now. People are starting to recognize that they can go that route without applying criminal charges, and then we have self-referrals. People will call in and ask, you know, how long, what do they got to do, is it insurance, what, you know, and ask questions.
Hampton adds, since the Inspiration Center space is limited, it's used for only those who have a true dedication to recovering from their problems, noting the treatment they do is about people who want it, not people who need it.
They call, and if a bed comes available, and we've got a guy who's called in sooner, put his pre-screen in a month prior to another guy who hasn't called, then we're going to give it to the guy who's been calling, the guy who's been keeping in touch and saying, hey, I'm still here, I'm trying, I'm hanging on, help me.
Jones says that though the work at the center is challenging, it's worth it because of the effect successful recoveries have on families. He adds that while watching families separate is hard, seeing them reunite is what makes the job worthwhile.
You know, I also get to watch the families reunited after they make it through the programs, and that motivates you, of watching the families reunited to where children have their dads back and wives have their husband back and moms and dads have their son back. So, yeah, that's a little bit of why we do what we do here.
Erica Walker is the case manager for the facility. According to her, programs like the Inspiration Center were first founded to help combat homelessness, but quickly evolved when it became apparent that there is a correlation between addiction and being homeless. Walker says she believes in the work done at the center. She says that while the media most often portrays lives that have been destroyed by addictions, there are recovery stories just waiting to be told. She encourages cities and counties thinking of starting recovery centers to do so.
I just think denying that to any community is very sad. So I would encourage them to open their minds and to seek out stories of recovery, because there's a lot of recovery here.
Each staff member at the Inspiration Center says the same thing. The facility's goal is to help broken men heal and give them their lives and families back. So far, it seems, they're getting that job done. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Moorhead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features 4 dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Moorhead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Moorhead State University.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The national championship game of the NCAA tournament is tonight in Phoenix. One seeds Gonzaga and North Carolina will face off for the title. For North Carolina, it is their second straight national title game appearance, falling in last year's game to Villanova on a buzzer beater. Head coach Roy Williams says winning this game after being so close last year has been motivation for him and his team.
The greatest thrill in coaching is seeing your guys achieve something that's very difficult and seeing the looks on their faces. And that's an emotional time. These guys have stepped up, and for me, it would be the satisfaction of those kids, the kind of feelings that they would have.
However, for Gonzaga, it is their first title game appearance in school history. Tonight's game tips off at 9:20. Kentucky freshman point guard De'Aaron Fox has declared for the NBA draft and hired an agent. Fox averaged nearly 17 points and 5 assists per game for the Wildcats. Some other notes from around college basketball. Georgetown has hired former Hoya Patrick Ewing as its new head basketball coach. And 24/7 Sports is reporting that Duke big man Marquise Bowden will transfer from the program. Bowden is the third player to transfer from the program in the last 2 weeks, joining Chase Jeter and Sean Obie. Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin believes the Eagles' fall signee will be a great addition to the program next season. 6'7", 210-pound power forward Cedric Wright inked with MSU back in November, just prior to his freshman year at Chipola Junior College in Florida.
The end of the season, first team all panhandle, which is a big accomplishment. You know, you think of Dewan Marrero and Xavier Moon, those guys were second team all panhandle as sophomores. So we're really excited about Cedric.
Wright finished the season averaging 10 points and 4 rebounds a game. He also connected on 61% of his field goal attempts. The Cincinnati Reds got their season underway about 30 minutes ago against the Philadelphia Phillies at Great American Ballpark. Currently in the game, Philly leads 3-0 in the third inning. Manager Brian Price says with a nearly completely new bullpen, the way those pitchers are used will vary from game to game.
We're going to start the season with using the freshest, best matched up arm for the situation. So there won't going to be one person with the corner market on the save opportunities. And if for some reason things work where we define one closer and use them more traditionally, then we'll do that. But going into it, it's going to look very much like bullpens from back in the 60s and 70s.
Some other scores from around Major League Baseball today. The Nationals beat the Marlins 4-2. The Mets topped the Braves 6-0. The Red Sox lead the Pirates 5-3 currently in the eighth inning. Colorado leads Milwaukee 6-5 in the eighth inning. The Orioles lead the Blue Jays 2-1 in the fifth. And the Dodgers and Padres are tied at 1 in the third inning. The red-hot Morehead State baseball team is taking a break today. The weekend sweep of UMass at Allen Field ran the winning streak for Coach Mike McGuire's 22-6 Eagles to 9 games. They have also won 17 of their last 18.
We're getting contributions from lots of guys. I think if you look at our box scores day after day, you see different guys highlighted and lots of guys making contributions, whether it's positionally or it's from our pitching staff. I think during this stretch of 17 wins and 18 games, I think we've got saves by 5 different pitchers.
The Baseball Eagles begin a 5-game road swing on Wednesday at West Virginia. They have 3 OVC weekend games at UT Martin. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure is doing some retooling of his defense during the Eagles' spring practices. Tenure says over the past 2 years, MSU has suffered some big-time graduation losses on that side of the ball, especially along its defensive line and at linebacker.
But we feel like we've got some really talented players, some young guys, and some guys that had a lot of experience at our defensive tackle position last year. So that's going to be an important position, as well as our safety, where we graduated 5 players in the last 2 classes. So we're going to have a lot of youth, and I feel like our team's speed is a strength, and I really like our skill set. I think that we're going to be really athletic.
The Eagles are entering their second week of spring drills. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops was pleased with the Wildcats' second full scrimmage of the spring. Stoops says he saw some good things from both his offense and defense during Saturday's workouts.
You know, the offense was efficient. I thought they're very good with the football. Very few pre-snap penalties, very few drops. You see the ball on the ground, not very much today. Maybe with the threes. Other than that, we protected the football. Defensively, we need to create some turnovers, but I thought, we're making some progress.
Stoops, though, adds that UK's defense needs to get better at its run defense. After missing most of last season because of back problems, quarterback Drew Barker led the Wildcats offense to a touchdown and appeared to show no ill effects from that injury. And finally in sports, the Cincinnati Bengals are bringing back one of their veterans from last season. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
The Bengals have re-signed defensive end Wallace Gilberry to a 1-year contract. He'd been an unrestricted free agent. The 6'2", 270-pound Gilberry initially played with Cincinnati from 2012 through 2015. He started last season with Detroit, but after being let go early by the Lions, he returned to the Bengals. He started his career in 2008 with Kansas City, where he spent 4 seasons. A 10-year member of the NFL, Gilberry last season had 10 tackles along with 2.5 sacks. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football's spring football game is set for Saturday, April 22nd. The tailgate area opens at 11 a.m. with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Former Morehead State football players who received Pioneer League honors will be recognized at halftime. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell but closed well off of their lows while investors digested key economic and auto sales data. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 13.01 at 20,650.21. The S&P 500 was down 3.88 at 2358.84, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 17.06 at 5894.68. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The ISM Manufacturing Index read for March hit 57.2, which topped estimates, but it did slip from the previous month's level. Construction spending rose 0.8% in February to its highest level in nearly 11 years. And monthly auto sales numbers were released throughout the day, with Ford, General Motors, and Fiat Chrysler all reporting declining numbers. GM was down 3.3% today, while Ford was down 1.75%. U.S. crude oil fell 0.7% to settle at $50.24 a barrel. And last month, oil prices in general dropped 6.3%, and gold was up 0.3% at $1,254.80 an ounce. Overseas European equities declined, with the Europe's Stoxx 600 index falling about 0.5%, and in Asia, stocks rose broadly as the Nikkei 225, Shanghai Composite, and Hang Seng index all closed higher. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were United Health Group and Verizon. The worst performers were DuPont and American Express. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Insight and Newmont Mining, and the worst performers were CarMax and O'Reilly Automotive. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 7 cents at $123.88, CSX up 5 cents at $46.60, AEP up 2 cents at $67.15, AK Steel up 10, or I should say down 10 cents at $7.09, Marathon Petroleum down 60 cents at $49.94, and Kroger was down 9 cents to finish at $29.40. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking one last look at the MSPR listening area's weather forecast. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, lows around 57 degrees, chance of rain is at 60%. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain, highs around 66 degrees. Tomorrow night, a few clouds with lows around 47 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, highs around 77 degrees. That chance of rain is at 80%. Wednesday night, thunderstorms likely, lows around 48 degrees, chance of rain is at 80%. Thursday, light rain early, highs around 49 degrees with a 60% chance of rain. Thursday night, showers in the evening, then becoming cloudy overnight, lows around 36 degrees. And for your Friday, cloudy skies with rain showers and snow possible, high around 49 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is sitting at 64 degrees. Flemingsburg is also sitting at 64 degrees. 63 degrees in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 66 in Winchester, and it's currently 64 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.